Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues here on AFR. AFR stands for American Family Radio. Appreciate you listening to our network and to this particular show. And I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman is back with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be back. I hear there was a very lengthy and lively discussion on my home renovation yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday you spent smashing down walls, right?
Yeah, that's right. I spent my whole day out there.
We had so much fun talking about you, Walker.
Good.
I wish you had been able to hear what we had to say.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and listen. Speaking of that, you can listen to our podcast at AFR.net.
Nice.
Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good morning. I want to see pictures.
Yeah.
Walker, he really did the, because I went over there and looked at it last night. Of course, I couldn't help him yesterday. I was working. somebody had to be here. You know what I'm
saying?
That's
right. Absolutely.
So, anyway, he bought a 45-year-old home and is doing some renovations. And in order to do that, you have to do the HGTV. What did y'all use to get down the walls?
Well, they call it Chip Gaines calls it demo day.
Demo day.
Yeah, demolition. And most of it, you just use a hammer.
It's a good day to go in angry, though.
Yeah, it's one of those jobs that require no skill. Like, you just knock stuff down and tear it down.
See, that's the part I can do when I watch these things on TV. I can take a hammer and knock down.
You channel your inner three-year-old.
Yeah.
And just start wailing away at stuff.
Right.
Right? When you pitch a fit, if you want to. Nobody cares. It's a good time to pitch a fit. All right, so anyway...
So it's going good.
I'd have to start over. I'm so OCD. I said, that's not a perfect circle in the wall. Can we get somebody to patch this up?
That job's not for OCD people.
I'm just kidding. You know, I'm not really OCD. Yeah, I like joking around. That I'm making fun of the actual disorder. All right. Okay. So I just want to make that clear.
We live in a world you got to apologize seven times for making what used to be just funny a joke. Oh, my word. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. We are on Facebook Live, right, Walker?
That's right. We're live streaming on Facebook, so you can watch the radio show there. Also, YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Today's Issues, on YouTube and Facebook, both places. Watch the show, find the news stories.
And your son Luke is how old now, my grandson?
He this month in May, he'll be 11 months old.
We need to bring him back on because our ratings went way up.
They sure did.
When you showed him.
I know. We may have to compensate him a couple of dollars here or there for his college savings.
So we got an 8-year-old, 9-month-old wanting an appearance fee?
Well, you know, the college football players want fees for their jerseys and stuff. So.
Okay.
So it all goes for a good cause to pay for the renovations,
that's right? That's right.
So I guess we need
feed hungry children.
We'll give him some popcorn for free.
Need to talk to his attorney.
Who is also Walker?
Walker's also
his agent and his attorney.
We'll bring him in pro bono.
Okay. All right, Fred.
I want to get to the big story of the day, but there's a story that just came across, and I was going to say the wires. That would be really dating myself. But the headline is this: guitar legend Gibson seeks bankruptcy protection. Now, I'm not a musician, but just talking with Rusty Benson from the AFA Journal, he is a musician,
fine musician.
And I remember, this is back several years ago during the Obama administration. You remember, and this story from the Associated Press announcing the bankruptcy of Gibson, they're based in Nashville, they've been around since the 1800s apparently. But this story does not mention they were the victim of Obama raids in the early part of the Obama administration because they didn't like the wood he was using for his guitar. Do you remember that story?
Yes.
And there was some connection, they thought, between Obama and the loggers union and stuff like that. It was in the midst of the whole Tea Party, and they were being investigated by the IRS. This was one of the companies. But the news today is this guitar company that's been in existence since 1894 I think their guitars were used like by Chuck Berry and David Bowie. And
yeah, they're famous guitars.
They're famous in Nashville. But anyway, they are declaring bankruptcy today. But
is that unrelated to the raid and all that? Or
well, the story doesn't mention the Obama raid, but I don't think it helped things very much going back. You know, we know what the IRS, the Obama IRS did to people.
Yeah.
They just, people they don't like. There were rumors that the owners of Gibson guitar were Republican supporters. A lot of stuff like that went
on.
Yeah,
and you know the thing is, because I remember reading last week about friends of Donald Trump who have been questioned by the Mueller investigation about how their legal fees all mound up, and the same thing is true if you go up against the might of the federal government, whether it's the IRS or whatever, you got to pay to defend yourself or you can suffer tremendous damage. Some people can wind up in prison. You've got to pay for the big lawyers, and they rack up all kinds of bills. So it would make sense that if the Obama administration just went after these people, that to defend themselves, they could have had hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal fees. And for a company like this that probably doesn't have a big profit margin, that can make all the difference.
Yeah. So that story's out there today. You mentioned the Mueller investigation. Well, there is a headline involving the Mueller investigation this morning. And really the headline is a tweet this morning from President Trump, disgraceful leak of Mueller-Russia probe questions. So what has happened? The New York Times has been given a list of questions that supposedly Robert Mueller, investigating the alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, the New York Times has been given a list of questions that Mueller wants to ask President Trump. Now, so once again, you know, the president is saying, you know, it's absolutely disgraceful that the questions concerning the Russian witch hunt, I'm quoting the tweet now, the Russian witch hunt were leaked to the media. No questions on collusion. Oh, I see you have a made-up phony crime, collusion that never existed, and an investigation begun with illegally leaked classified information. Nice. End quote, exclamation mark. So here you have it. Of course, he's referencing back to James Comey and now to this leaking. Somebody in the Mueller investigative team, which is largely composed of Democrat lawyers, somebody on that team has leaked the questions that Mueller would like to ask President Trump. And this goes to, is it any wonder, at least, that the president keeps saying, This is, you know, this is a corrupt administration.
Yeah.
This is a Justice Department that's gone awry. And this is why he keeps saying there's no credibility. But, you know, the Republicans, you know, various Republicans, Democrats, of course, don't you dare fire Mueller. Mm-hmm. But if you're the president looking at this stuff and you read, you know, the New York Times this morning, you see, here are the questions they're going to ask me. How does this Mueller investigative team have any credibility anymore?
Because you asked two questions, all right? Why did the Mueller team leak the questions, and why did they leak it to the New York Times?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, now, you can on the second question, you can make the argument New York Times is the newspaper of record for politics. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the Washington Post, close second, okay? On the other hand, you could also make the argument that they know they're going to get a spin on the article that's written based on this leaked information that is favorable to the Democrats and is harmful to the president. But as to the first question, why would you leak these questions? It seems clear that since a real investigation has no need or any warrant, just not in a legal sense, to leak the questions they are going to use in an investigation, you have to come to the conclusion that this is for political damage.
Yeah, of course.
Because they don't believe there's any legal damage possible. They're going for political damage.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, leaking information on an investigation of this magnitude is a felony. It's a federal crime to leak. The whole reason that that Republicans and even Newt Gingrich, the former House Speaker from the 90s, praised the special counsel from the onset is they said this is going to be an investigation with integrity. It will all be kept confidential. It will not be tried in the media. And then at the end of the investigation, Robert Mueller, the man with integrity, will come out and tell America whether Donald Trump is guilty or innocent.
Yeah.
What has been the total opposite? Mm-hmm. It's been, and I would say maybe on the onset, if there were a couple leaks, maybe Mueller's trying to get his team under control and get a hold of all of his team members if you have 20 attorneys. But this is an ongoing thing. Every week, something from the investigation is leaked, and Mueller does not come out and say, I have a leaking problem and I'm trying to fix it.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He doesn't say anything. He is apparently okay with the leaking because this has been going on for a
year. I think Trump's
going to
fire him pretty soon.
I hope so.
Well, I don't know what damage it could possibly do that's beyond this.
Let them burn down America.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Oh, he could.
They're not going to, people aren't going to riot over this. I don't think. They've said that there's some organized efforts to demonstrate. This isn't like
immediately. I mean, there are plans to immediately riot,
but
it's not. It's going to make it look like it's spontaneous.
But
it's
right. But I just don't think what I'm saying, I don't think the average progressive out there who's sitting around with nothing to do goes, you know, Trump fired Mueller today.
Right.
Who wants to go with me down to the city hall? I think I'm going to burn some and set off some fireworks. You know, I just don't think.
I think, and we've said this all along. He ought to say, all right, I'm saying it's going to end by this date.
Mm-hmm. August 1st.
You've had long enough. August 1st.
August 1st.
You make
it's
your
over.
Report. It's over.
It's yeah. over.
You're and, not going to drag this into the 2018 election.
Yeah. No.
Because
no. And what? We got to go to our guest here. What is the downside for Trump?
Right.
The there people is who no hate, downside.
There is no downside. The people who hate President Trump are going to hate him regardless mm-hmm. of whether Mueller goes or stays.
And probably keep regardless on. Of
this thing is good. I'm telling you, this thing will go on for another 2 years
until 2020.
It will.
They
it
will.
It will because Mueller needs a job. He needs something to do.
And
Robert
so do
Mueller.
These lawyers.
And the lawyers have got a lot going on. They got an unlimited budget. They got all the time in the world. They can work 2 days a week and takes 5 days off.
And one more thing is that Attorney General Jeff Sessions can investigate leaks,
mm-hmm.
even within the Russia investigation, because leaking has nothing to do with the whole Russia investigation. It's a matter of DOJ protocol and law that's being broken. So Attorney General Jeff Sessions can investigate the leaks.
One more point. President Trump has hired Rudy Giuliani.
Right.
For this very moment. I think Rudy Giuliani should have a news conference this morning and saying, this investigation has no more credibility.
Right.
You know, it's done.
Fire him today if you want
it's
to.
It's done.
Yeah.
That's what Rudy Giuliani should do today.
And he laid out the case.
Yes.
Because that would be that would be what people will hear.
Mm-hmm.
Lay out the case and say, this is why this is a political witch hunt. There's nothing to do with illegality. It's gone on long enough. And if we let it go on, it'll go on to the 2020 election to influence it.
I'd fire him.
Yeah.
I'd fire him and say, so sue me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sue me. Impeach me. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Do it. But I'm not going to tolerate this for the next 2 years.
Right.
This is going at this witch hunt.
And meanwhile, Democrats, you better start confirming my judges because.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. You're listening to All the Answers. Here with that's right. This show's called We Have All the Answers. To Tim Wildman, Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson, you're listening to American Family Radio. You can send us by saying Robert Mueller needs a job. I didn't mean that literally. I mean the guy's an accomplished attorney, FBI director for like 12 years. I'm sure he's, could retire comfortably. But I'm just saying seems to have an unlimited budget here and all the time in the world. And I think he could easily drag this out for another year or two. Just go fishing every 3 days.
Right.
Trying to find something on somebody. and you can do that. If you search long enough, you can find something on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we want to welcome to our program Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. Frank is host of the weekend program here on American Family Radio called Cross Examined. That's also the name of his ministry, which really focuses on Christian apologetics. And Frank joins us most Tuesdays. Frank, good morning to you.
Tim, how are you? You know, Planned Parenthood is defending Robert Mueller's investigation. What they're saying is that corruption is only 3% of what they do.
And you get the Babylon Bee, don't you?
I do. I'm reading it right now. Bill Cosby. They defend Bill Cosby. Sexual assault is only 3% of what he does. So, come on.
Because Planned Parenthood says only that on abortions only 3% of what they do.
Right? Yeah, that's like the Atlanta Braves saying that baseball is only 3% of what we do because we sell 8 million hot dogs a year.
Gotcha.
Hey, that you got you're on to something there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. I like that.
Baseball's incidental. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, Frank, I wanted to talk to you about this California legislation in the state out there of California that has not been signed into law yet, but it's potentially the criminalization of Christianity, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And I know that Snopes thinks we're overstating the case here, not we, but thinks conservative Christians are people who are sounding the alarm about this potential situation with this legislation that's going through the California legislature. What about this? What is this? What is it about?
Well, according to Snopes, truth is only 3% of what they do. So
duly noted. They're left leaning, and you can't trust it. You can't trust him anymore. If you ever could, Snopes. They're selective fact checkers. Anyway, go ahead.
They are. Well, I want to just mention to you that I was just out at the great church called Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite pastors in the world is there. His name is Jack Hibbs. You may be familiar with Jack. He is so dialed in on what's going on culturally that I spoke there for the three messages this past Sunday. But prior to me getting up, he actually got up and spent about 15 or 20 minutes talking about three bills that were going on in California, two of which they defeated. And the two that they defeated had to do with homeschooling. One of the bills was trying to get all homeschooled homes on a public website that said, here are the people who are homeschooling, here's their address. For what reason? Nobody would say why they wanted to post this publicly. The second of these homeschool bills was that the state was going to come in and do inspections in the home, this kind of thing. And Jack Hibbs and some other pastors in California said, we're not going to stand for this. They literally sent a number of people up to Sacramento during the committee hearing for this. And get this, two people spoke in support of these bills. Over, I think, 300 spoke against these bills. And by the time the people who testified against it, many of whom came from Jack's church, It went over 3 hours. The chairman of the committee, I think it was, said, do we have a motion to move forward with this bill? And even the sponsors of the bill remained silent. And he said again, do we have a motion to move forward? And even the sponsors just sat there with their hands folded. Finally, the guy said, well, no motion, the bill dies. Mm-hmm. And the entire church erupted because a church can make a difference. And when you poke Mama Bear in the nose, Mama Bear is going to come after you. And these homeschooling moms said, we're not going to stand for this. There's nobody going to come into our house and inspect us as to what we're doing. Nobody from the state's going to do that. We're not going to have our names plastered all over some government website here in California because there's no reason for it. And it's invasion of our privacy. We're going to take care of the education of our children, and you're not going to interfere. Now, the bill you're talking about, Tim, is still out there, and this bill has to do with basically criminalizing anyone, including a pastor or a counselor, who tries to counsel somebody out of homosexuality or homosexual transgendered lifestyle, whatever that is, even if the person wants it, which would mean books like my book, Correct Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone, could be considered criminal. Now, everybody listening to the sound of my voice right now understands that such a bill is blatantly unconstitutional. They want to ban books in California that they don't agree with. Now, who knows where this thing's going to go? Jack and many other churches out there are talking about this and hopefully will make some impact. But if this thing goes through, immediately what's going to happen is I think the Alliance for Defending Freedom is going to sue. There's going to be an injunction, and this thing's going to go up through the court system. And hopefully, if it is passed, it's going to be defeated.
Well, let me just say, folks, you may think, well, you're Frank and Tim, you guys are exaggerating here. That's you know, you're sensationalizing something that's really not as bad as you say it is. How could it possibly ban books? I mean, you can't do that in America. Well, this law, well, it's not a law yet. It's a bill. This bill that was voted on in the California Assembly.
Yes.
Now they have a Senate and they have a House, like every other state, right? Right. So the Assembly, which is the House, they overwhelmingly voted for this bill. Now the governor hasn't signed it yet, but
it still has to go to the Senate.
It still has to go to the Senate.
Yeah.
But the wording. The wording in the bill is that you can't, I don't have it.
It's goods or services.
Pardon me? Okay, quote, goods and services. Right. So that's a very broad, general, and I think that's by design, so that they could, you could encompass books like Frank's and others to say you can't have this book, I guess, for sale in California because it advocates for reparative therapy or Jesus Christ changing your behavior through the power of the Holy Spirit.
And there's no
In effect, Tim, as Jack said Sunday morning in church, Jack Hibbs, the pastor there at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, he said, this law basically criminalizes the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Yeah.
There's no religious exemption, is there?
Oh no, it's directly a direct attack on any religion.
Yeah, but some bills will have like a religious exemption, say this does not apply to pastoral counseling, but that does not exist in this bill, does it?
No, they want to come after Christians.
Right. Yeah.
And we have to be aware of the tactic here. This was kind of a commerce section bill, and what they did was add a non-discrimination clause to a commerce bill. And this was the tactic that they've used.
This is the rabid LGBTQ lobby, and that would include those who agree with them, the hardcore secular progressives. Again, as we've mentioned before, this isn't traditional liberal versus conservative anymore. These people want to shut us down, criminalize our thought. If you disagree with homosexuality in any way, you're not getting a job here in this state of California. You might as well just leave.
Talk about discrimination. See, everybody is discriminating. You can't avoid, because discrimination just means to recognize differences and to act on those differences. And what they are doing is they're discriminating against Christians and even Muslims or Jews or even a secular person who no longer wants to be engaged in a homosexual lifestyle. They're discriminating against them by saying they can't get counseling to get them to change their behavior in that regard.
Okay, is this going to, though, do you think it passes the Senate in Sacramento and Governor Jerry Brown signs it? And then secondly, I think it is just flat out blatantly unconstitutional. I do think even in Loony, California, it'll be struck down pretty quick.
But they need to fight it, and people in California need to fight it, Tim. We don't want it to go there. We don't want it to go to court. The people need to defeat this.
Don't you think? Well, I'll be stunned if it doesn't pass.
Well, if you get enough people going to Sacramento and standing in on a committee meeting the good folks in California did last week.
Mm-hmm. Well, that may be true.
It's not going forward.
Hopefully that'll be true. Frank, what's your website?
Crossexamined.org.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Great being with you guys. Okay. God bless.
That's Dr. Frank Turek, heard weekends here on American Family Radio. Man, California is just whacked out.
It is.
That ought to be their state sign when you enter. Welcome to Whacked Out California. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
The word of the year for 2016 for the Oxford Dictionary was post-truth, and it's defined like this. It says, relating to or denoting circumstances in which facts are less influential than appeals to emotion and personal belief.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
The AFA Cultural Institute, a video library of resources dealing with the discussions of our day.
Marriage and family, finances, how we know that the text of the Bible is actually what was originally written. The AFA Cultural Institute takes all of these topics and puts them in the hands of people to be able to equip them.
Start your library of the AFA Cultural Institute, now available for purchase as downloads or DVDs at afastore.net.
News travels fast and it's constantly changing. Keep up on onenewsnow.com. It's a news site featuring the latest breaking stories from across the U.S. and around the world. OneNewsNow.com has well-researched articles from a conservative evangelical perspective with hot topics of concern to Christians right now. Get the full story when you visit OneNewsNow.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. The New York Times has obtained dozens of questions Special Counsel Robert Mueller wants to ask President Trump. It's not clear who leaked the questions, presumably someone in the Justice Department. President Trump called it disgraceful, a Russian witch hunt. Now, the president has a point here. The questions had more to do with obstruction of justice than colluding with the Russians, which was the whole point of the investigation in the first place, right? But as we all know, when it comes to special counsels, what may start as colluding can morph into any legal issue imaginable. In other words, it's really not about Russia. It would seem to be about political payback. President Trump said it best, it would seem very hard to obstruct justice for a crime that never happened. A witch hunt, indeed. And by the way, maybe Mr. Mueller ought to be more concerned about who's leaking his notes to the mainstream media. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net is our email address. You can watch the show on Facebook Live. Just go to Today's Issues Facebook page and watch the show there, or our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel for Today's Issues live streaming as well. I'm Tim with Ed, Walker, and Fred. We appreciate you listening each and every day to American Family Radio and to this program. So much more in the news yesterday. Well, let me welcome Sandy, and then we can get into some of this. Mm-hmm. Sandy Rios is with us most Tuesdays. Sandy's host of Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. She's also Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association. And Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Sandy, we were talking earlier about, and you discuss this quite often on your program. You have discussed it over the weeks and months with this investigation by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. And we were talking about this earlier in the hour. I just don't know at this point what the downside is for President Trump just firing the guy.
You know what? I've said that for, I've felt that way for a long time.
No, I had the idea before you did.
Well,
so
I agree with you.
Don't try to do what my dad
and
does.
And I was thinking about it before you said it, Tim.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I used to joke around because I'd go to my dad's office a few years ago back when Dad was here, and I'd say, Dad, I got this great idea. I think we ought to do A, B, and C. And he would go, you know, I was just thinking about that the other day. And I'm just, But anyway, anyway, okay, Sandy, whether you or I had the idea first really doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Doesn't matter, yeah. And we often agree, and we agree on that. Here's the thing. The newest information that's come to my attention that makes it more difficult, and it shouldn't, but MoveOn.org, you know, paid for by Soros, has organized this vast, in advance now, this vast protest if President Trump should pardon Mueller, or if he should fire Mueller, or if he should fire Rosenstein, or if he should grant pardons to people that Mueller and Rosenstein, or Mueller's going after. And they've planned already at least 700 in 700 different cities. They have sent out, they have like a manual that's 30-some pages long about how to plan these. They've got locations. They have permits pending.
So this is all email. This is all for spontaneous protests, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's right. And you know what, Ed? The thing of it is, we don't know because these groups work together. Meaning, groups on the left, they coordinate. We don't know who's going to show up. Listen, Antifa has managed to shut down so many things lately. So there may likely be violence if he does that. So it's just like, how much, and is it worth it?
I don't see it. I think all those demonstrations are a flop. You got to have something more emotional to get a bunch of people out.
Unless there's money involved from George Soros.
Paid protesters? How long is that going to last?
Well, listen, let me tell you, in ancient Israel, they had paid mourners.
Yeah.
At a funeral.
Yeah, I'm not sure the connection there.
You know, well, I would say this. I'm sure Walker has probably seen that poll by Reuters Ipsos poll about how millennials suddenly in this, it's a actually pretty big sample. I want to say 10,000 millennials who weighed in on whether they'll vote. Okay, this is not related to the protests, but it's kind of a mood detector or some kind of detector of where millennials are with the left. And there's been a 9-point change in whether they would support Republicans or Democrats since since January, which is really amazing. And they in the Reuters article about it, they sort of fleshed out some of the people. There was a young black man who said he voted for Hillary Clinton, but he feels that Republicans are managing a lot of things really well, including he's seeing cuts in his paycheck. I think he just has a regular job, regular hourly wage, yeah. But he said he's voting Republican in the midterms. My point is, I really do think that these demonstrations and outbursts of violence are wearing on people, including our young people. Walker, you think that's true?
Yeah, for some of your more fair-minded young folks. But then there's always, of course, your UC Berkeley crowd. That they're going to protest no matter what's going on.
Yeah, but they're out in UC Berkeley.
Right.
Again,
but
California,
I think for the most part,
out.
That poll may be correct in that, you know, your middle American, college students or young adults are kind of tired of all the drama, unnecessary drama over petty things, political things, and they're just kind of ready to, you know, move on with life.
Of course, this is a nationwide poll, and Reuters is a leftist. They lean to the left. So whatever their findings are not going
to... So back to my original question here.
Oh, sorry,
I don't know.
Sorry.
You guys
sorry,
are trying Tim. To get me distracted.
That's our goal.
Huh? So sorry.
So what's the downside for firing Mueller in the next month? You said potential protest. That was your answer.
That's the only downside that has come to my attention in the last few weeks.
Yeah, so I would say, you know, if I were President Trump, like Ed has said this for a long time now. Ed has said, set a date. And so President Trump could come out today and do a press conference and say, look, I've had it with this. Look what happened now. We got leaks of questions. This investigation is a mess, and it's potentially going to go on for who knows how long, maybe the next couple of years. This is ridiculous. I didn't do anything to collude with the Russians to win the election. And if I had, don't you think the New York Times would have found out by now?
Mm-hmm.
So so I'm going to tell you, we're going to set July 4th. Our nation will celebrate July 4th, our independence. And I'm going to celebrate independence from Robert Mueller on that day.
Yeah.
So so Mr. Mueller, I tell you today, I'm getting a little overboard here, but with Trump,
I like it.
With
Keep
Trump,
going.
Wrap
maybe,
it up.
With
yeah.
Trump, maybe not. I would say if I were President Trump, I'd say Mr. Mueller has until July 4th to wrap up his investigation and
present his findings.
Present his findings and see to the Congress and see if there's any or to whoever. I don't know who he's supposed to
grand
and
jury.
see if there's any need to go on here. Otherwise, I'm terminating his office of special counsel, and we're moving on. And if Democrats and Lindsey Graham don't like it, then tough luck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is
the executive branch.
The executive
I'm in
branch
charge of it.
Is, so impeach me or sue me. But we're moving on.
You're moving on.
This is not going to drag out for. That's what he should do. I think a roar would go up among his base in America. You know, so I think that's coming from President Trump. I've sensed that building for the last few weeks, and I think that's coming. If he doesn't do that, Sandy, I'll be surprised.
You know, one thing that would help is if people understood who Robert Mueller really was. And this morning, I was supposed to have Congressman Louis Gohmert on, but for some reason he did not call, so I ended up doing a solo overview of his 47-page paper on Robert Mueller. And basically, Congressman Gohmert tracks Mueller's history, and he has a history of destroying innocent people. It is really shocking when you see it laid out. He also has a history. He literally destroyed the FBI's ability to fight terrorism.
Well, those things, excuse me for interrupting, those things that he found out in this investigation, which they charged Manafort, what's the gentleman's name?
Paul Manafort.
Paul Manafort.
Michael Flynn.
And basically, quote, ruined their lives. I mean, their bills that they've accumulated. Yes, I'm just saying, I don't know all the... It seems like to me that those were side issues that they happened to find out about, kind of like how they found out about Anthony Weiner's, sexting a 16-year-old girl because they found out Huma's computer in a way. You understand what I'm saying? It was kind of sideline issues. Am I right about that? That they got those guys?
Absolutely. They got them on. They don't even think that Flynn has actually committed any kind of offense. The FBI agents working on that said he
did
not.
He was sort of tricked, wasn't he?
It was Peter Strzok who handled that.
Yeah.
But go back in Mueller's history, Tim. The point I really would like to make is that he has a history of destroying people. You remember he was the FBI director that went after Senator Ted Stevens from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of how you feel about Ted Stevens, they went after him for some kind of violation on codes, building his house, some kind of alleged. Yeah, seriously.
Oh,
and they
my
got
goodness.
And it caused him to lose his position in the Senate right before the vote on Obamacare.
Codes
and then Ted
on
Stevens,
his house.
That's
in Alaska?
Right. Yes, and then they found, we know now that the FBI, I believe at least one or two agents have been, I don't know if they've been convicted, but they were found to be lying about the evidence, and that was under Mueller's watch.
Sandy, didn't Mueller's FBI fumble the whole Boston bombing suspect
situation?
Absolutely.
When we talk about weaponizing the federal government, which you just described about Ted Stevens, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We're talking about using the power and might and unlimited resources of the federal government to drive someone into the ground, whether they're guilty or not.
Also, don't forget, a couple of weeks ago, and that wasn't Robert Mueller's investigative team directly, but it was a referral to the U.S., I guess, district attorney in the city of New York. They raided
Michael Cohen.
The personal attorney for President Trump. They raided his office and his home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And seized all of his documents.
3 o'clock in the morning, was it? Was it that also 3 o'clock in the morning?
Middle of the night.
I wanted to interject. Most people know that, but they might not know that he did the same thing to Congressman Weldon. Congressman Weldon, after 9/11, was the one who kept hammering home in the Congress that the FBI had information that could have prevented 9/11.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening is the FBI opened an investigation on him like 4 days before his election, and they raided his daughter's home, and they made sure the press was there to cover it, and he lost his election. I mean, I'm just telling you, too. There's the guy in the anthrax case, the scientist that they blamed, and turned out they didn't have any evidence. They ruined his life, his career. I'm telling you that Robert Mueller has a history of this. So does James Comey.
Yeah.
And so when they keep telling us what a man of integrity is, he is not. And could I please commend Congressman Louis Gohmert's piece on Mueller? It's a white paper on
his
history.
Where can you find it?
It's on my Facebook page. But Sandy Rios in the morning. But if they just Google Louis Gohmert and Robert Mueller, I know it'll come up. It's a lot of different places, but it's really worth taking the time to read it. It's amazing.
Well, I'm going to predict right now within the next two weeks. Yeah, I think two to three weeks, I think President Trump is going to fire him.
Well, Sandy already predicted that, though.
I thought that already.
I hope both of you are correct.
All right, then. Okay. Hey, Sandy.
And that thing you said he should say, I thought that already.
Yeah. Okay. I don't even know why I'm here, quite frankly. What's my point in life? Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure. Talk to you soon.
All right. That's Sandy Rios, R-I-O-S, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio. Anybody want to join in with me on that?
Well, I think it's got to be coming. I mean, whether it's two weeks or four weeks. This leak is just unconscionable.
Well, it's
got, maybe he'll do it today.
It's got to be stopped. Otherwise, we're going to be known as a banana republic.
Yeah.
This is what they do in these little countries
when
they have dictators.
I just think. And I will admit I am biased in the sense that I voted for President Trump and I want him to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So if that considering that bias, I think trying to look at this thing objectively, Mr. Mueller, as I said, who has a distinguished career in the FBI, he served the FBI for 12 years as director. He in his office, when you give a special counsel unlimited time and unlimited money.
Mm-hmm.
That is just that to me. That is very dangerous, and I know the point of it to make it quote independent, but that's why you should probably have this within the Justice Department and within the justice system, and don't do these outside independent counsels, because at least those people can be held accountable with congressional hearings, and have a budget and have. And if they're corrupt, they're corrupt. And people find out, they vote against them.
Did you guys know this other stuff, like with Ted Stevens and stuff?
I didn't know this stuff.
I didn't know that was all happened under Mueller.
But I'll tell you this. Just reading about what happened to Manafort, what's happened to Paul Manafort, and what's happened to
Trump ought to pardon
General Flynn. General Flynn.
And if possible, return their money that they used to defend themselves.
General Flynn basically got tricked.
Right.
Peter Strzok, the corrupt FBI agent, who still works.
This is unbelievable.
I'm just saying, you give a special counsel unlimited time and unlimited money and unlimited investigatory capabilities.
The FBI.
You can ruin people's lives, as you said.
Yeah, Peter Strzok and the FBI showed up unannounced to the White House, walked in, told Michael Flynn, go to your office. They went in Michael Flynn's office, perjured him on purpose, got him in a corner, and ask him questions. They didn't tell him that he was under oath. He didn't have a lawyer present, and they asked him tricky questions, and they even agree that he didn't lie, but yet he was charged, and that's why the charges haven't been pressed farther.
He's a general. Isn't he a forced?
He's
a general.
Oh,
general,
yeah.
General
yeah.
Michael Flynn. Yeah. I mean, he had a distinguished career.
But the way they've gone about this is so, even before Mueller, this was under Comey. Yeah. This is so corrupt.
And I'll just say this one other thing, because I know we got a guest. Trump, if he fires Mueller, and then he ought to turn the FBI on Strzok and these other guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And squeeze them.
Yeah.
How do you like it?
I just don't see a downside. Lindsey Graham wants to squeal, let him squeal.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm talking about the Republican senator from – but they're the ones who are saying, we've got to have integrity.
I like what you said. Trump said, go ahead. You want to impeach me? Let's go to war.
Yeah, impeach me, sue me, whatever you want to do, but I'm firing him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tough luck. I'm the president. You don't like me, get rid of me.
Right. that's how we ought to put it.
Yeah, that's what he ought to say. And that does sound like something he would do, and he should do. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio, and we want to welcome to our program now George Barna. George Barna is with the American Culture, Faith, and Institute, And he's been on our program many times. Good morning, George. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, George, you still based out of crazy California?
Socialist Republic of California, reporting for service.
We were talking about California. By the way, is there any legitimacy, do you think, George, to the idea of splitting California up into two states?
You know, this state is crazy enough that just about anything that you could name is possible. If somebody told me that the governor had a new project where this bullet train he's been trying to spend tens of billions on is going to take us to the moon, it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, it's
crazy. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got our state legislature now looking at different ways of banning the Bible.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
But they've already changed the election system too, so that pretty much they've rigged it. You cannot have Republicans on the ballot. They take the top people in a primary election, the top two people, which in a state that's this Democratic is almost always going to be the Democrats. And so Republicans are pretty much shut out of the running.
Wow.
Well, I do know, you know, we joke about California and California in there. George just joked about it. It's joking, but it's serious.
It has serious consequences.
Yeah, the secular progressive movement in California is dominating their politics and threatening religious freedom and things of that and other things. But there is a segment of California, I don't know what it is, 25-30% of California that is conservative. They're just gerrymandered out.
Right.
And also, you're talking about, I'm talking about Orange County, some of San Diego, and maybe what, George, the Central Valley and the north of Sacramento, those would be conservative parts of
And Orange County, did you mention that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, those would be the primary areas.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rural areas tend to be fairly conservative.
Yeah.
It's the urban areas where, of course, you know, those have become sanctuary cities.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, a lot of people from the progressive end of the continuum.
Yeah, we're talking about the state that elected Ronald Reagan, the governor, twice.
29% are Republicans in California.
Yeah. So I got basically
yeah,
got
yeah
it
but
right.
We also brought back Governor Moonbeam twice.
Yeah. Duly noted. Hey, George, talk about your latest. Give us your website where people can read about your research, but also you've got a new study out. Talk about that.
Yeah, culturefaith.com is where we have this new study called Americans Redefine Family Morality. And what I was trying to do, you know, we're always trying to figure out what's going on in our culture. How can we transform the culture to become more God-honoring across the country? And in this particular survey, what we do is take a look at different aspects of morality, particularly those that relate to family and family relationships and behavior. And eight different activities or behaviors that we ask people about. And the changes that we have seen in these things in the past decade are pretty shocking. We look at the fact that right now, more than 3 out of every 4 Americans say that getting a divorce is either morally acceptable or it's not even a moral issue. Of course, morality means knowing right from wrong. And what Americans are increasingly saying with all forms of behavior is that these things have nothing to do with morality. There's no right or wrong. It's just an issue of personal preference. And so what we find is with getting a divorce, 77% say it's an acceptable behavior. Sexual intercourse between unmarried male and female adults, 71% say that's a morally acceptable behavior. Having a baby without the parents of the child be married to each other, 69% say that's morally acceptable to each overall. And then even things like pornography, you know, the way we described it in the survey was intentionally looking at pictures or videos that display nudity or explicit sexual behavior. 6 out of 10 Americans, 58%, said that's morally acceptable. So you go, you've got those things, you go down the list. We are rapidly becoming a culture that, much like California, is saying pretty much anything goes. As long as I feel comfortable with it, it's right for me.
George Ed Vitagliano here. How do we explain this change? I'm going to give you a couple of options, and maybe it's a combination of things. This is clearly the triumph of the sexual revolution over the Judeo-Christian worldview. Is it media? Is it colleges? When I say media, Hollywood and the news media. Is it the failure of the church to come to grips with these issues and Sunday morning services and stuff? A combination? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, Ed. And I think it comes down to understanding that people make these kinds of choices based on their worldview. In America today, only 10% of adults have a biblical worldview. As you look at that generationally, what we find is that with each succeeding generation, fewer and fewer of them have a biblical worldview. For instance, among millennials, only 4% have a biblical worldview. So it's dropping as we go on in time. Now, why is that? It's because traditionally people were taught to and held accountable to have a biblical worldview by a combination of family and church and even government. If you look at what the founding fathers believed and what they thought would make for a good country, and together, family, government, and church taught these things in our schools. They taught them at home. They taught them everywhere. But today, what we find is that families don't read the Bible together. They don't talk about theology together. Parents generally do not hold their children responsible for the worldview that they're developing. We look at the media. Our research is showing that the media in this country have the greatest impact of any influence agent in our culture. And, of course, they're moving people away from a biblical worldview through movies, through music, through books, through television, through video games, etc. And then you look at the government and the laws that it continues to put into place and to force upon people, and these are laws that have nothing to do with God's law. They really thumb their nose at the principles in Scripture. And so children who are growing up, and remember, a person's worldview develops between 15 to 18 months of age and age 13. By age 13, your worldview is almost fully formed. Changes very little after that in most cases. Well, you know, what's formed it up to that point? It's been family. It's been the law that they're held accountable to live by and what they're receiving through the media. Where's the church? We find that the church generally does not minister very effectively or very forcefully to children. We're not taking that seriously as our most significant mission field, and yet it is.
Yeah. We're just about out of time. George Barna has been with us. George, again, tell you your website and what's there.
Yeah, culturefaith.com, and that'll have all of our research that we've been doing about the state of American culture and where we're going, including this study, Americans Redefine Family Morality.
Americans Redefine Family Morality. Well, hopefully we can get that turned around, because if that continues going the wrong way, there's a lot of pain ahead for us.
It's the perfect way of putting it, because that's what happens. It's not just that you're breaking the rules. Shame on you.
There are consequences.
It's that there are consequences.
Yeah, real-life consequences.
Yep.
All right, George, thanks so much for being on with us. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks, gentlemen. Great to be with you.
Okay, George Barna there.
That guy's awesome. Yeah. He does such awesome work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So helpful.
Yes, he does. Despite the fact that he lives in California.
Hey, someone's got to live there to try to be a little salt or light.
I do think a lot of Christian Californians, have to weigh the weather versus losing the religious freedom.
Mm-hmm. It could come down to that.
It's a tough call.
Yeah.
It's a tough call. Kidding.
Yes.
Nobody gets
tongue in cheek.
Nobody. Well, okay.
I was thinking of saying it.
We'll be back. We'll be back in 5 minutes. I'm kidding. 4 and a half.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.